You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
If you remember back, it wasn't that many years ago, we were quite concerned in the province of Ontario about our power supply. There were all kinds of warnings during the high-demand summer months about brownouts, situations like that, and we all remember, although it wasn't necessarily caused by Ontario, we all remember the big summer blackout not that many years ago. We're kind of in a different place now where we really have surplus electricity. It creates its own set of problems. And to talk a bit about that, we have Vic Fedeli on the line. He's the PC Energy Critic, and he's the MPP for Nipissing. Vic Fedeli, thank you very much for being here on Zoomer Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Dale. It's great to be back with you and your audience again.
The situation was, and you were pointing this up in a press release just the other day, that one of the Pickering reactors was, in fact, ordered to reduce output because we had electricity. We couldn't even pay people to take off our hands, I guess, right?
You got it right. You know, it's a sad state for Ontario, but what that really tells us is the fact that we make far more electricity today than we consume. In fact, our consumption peaked back in July of 2006, and that's because we have 600,000 men and women who are unemployed, which means we use a lot less power than we did back then. We have 300,000 fewer manufacturing jobs in Ontario. And, you know, I'm a northern boy. I live in North Bay. North of us, there are 60 sawmills that have closed down, huge users of power. So yeah, we have such little use of power in Ontario today compared to before.
Well, is this a story about the sad state of the economy in Ontario, or a story about the sad state of power generation in Ontario?
Well, they're connected. Funny you mentioned that, to be honest.
It's true.
Because the sad state of power in Ontario, the fact that we are bringing all this wind and solar power online and paying a huge subsidy to do that, that has caused our energy bills to spike in Ontario. Your bill at home, your bill in a manufacturing plant, has doubled. As of May of this year, it doubled under Dalton McGuinty. And so companies are closing. I'm going to give you lots of examples. Companies are closing due to high power rates, which is causing less demand for power, which means we have even more power, and it's a upward cycle that is there's no end to it right now.
Or a downward spiral, perhaps, is a way to look at it.
Well, it is. Here's a great example, right? We have less demand for power today, but we're making this power out of wind and solar, which the wind power is generated mostly at night when we don't need it. So we pay the United States and Quebec to take our power. And I'll give you another northern example. Quebec knocked on the door of Xstrata Copper in Timmins, Ontario's single largest user of power in the whole province, knocked on their door and said, wow, your power is expensive. I have all this cheap power here in Quebec that we paid them to take, by the way. Why don't you move to Quebec? And Xstrata Copper canned 670 employees in that little town of 45,000, moved to the province of Quebec for cheap power that we paid them to take from us. Now, where's the sense in that?
Well, when you try to wade your way through all of these issues that are, as you say, and I think many would agree, interconnected, one of the major problems would seem to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, that when we're generating this wind power, just for example, it takes priority. It's put into the system at a time, as you say, when it's not needed, and if too much electricity gets into the system, something we can't handle from a technical point of view, we either spill water at Niagara Falls or we slow down or shut down a reactor so that we can have the green power.
Yep, you're absolutely right. So in order to force the Green Energy Act, and I'll call it, just to be mildly rude, the so-called Green Energy Act on Ontario, Dalton McGuinty did several things. First, he agreed to pay one of the highest subsidies anywhere in the world if you made power from wind or solar. Then he guaranteed to buy that power from you whenever it was made, no matter whether we needed it or not.
If the windmills turn and the power is generated, Ontario said, we'll buy it.
So yesterday's a great example of the opposite of what happens at night. We have the capacity now in Ontario to make 1,700 megawatts of power every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, a beautiful day, we made 9 megawatts. That's about enough to power 3 little companies.
Yeah.
That's all the power we made from wind. We've paid billions. We've torn up acres of parks and beautiful areas, treed, forested areas, Wolf Island off of Kingston, Kincardine area, all of the beautiful shores that are now covered in all those wind turbines made collectively 9 megawatts. What a disaster. Yet at night, they make a lot more power when we don't need it. So you're right. We spill water over Niagara Falls on the generators that we paid for over the last 100 years. They're long paid for.
Yeah.
And so the Auditor General told us we wasted $300 million last year spilling water over Niagara Falls. And when that doesn't do it, we then sell our power at a huge loss to the states in Quebec. The Auditor General told us in the first 10 months of last year alone, we lost $420 million. And then the sin of all sins, when we can't spill any more water, when we can't sell any more power to Quebec or the United States, then we abruptly shut off our nuclear plants. And we vent all that steam that's generated.
But the point is, but the problem is, and I've always been told this, I don't know, you're the energy critic, you'll know. I've always been told that, you know, a nuclear plant isn't even like a gas a gas generation plant. It's not a sports car. It's very difficult to shut the thing down and then get it running again.
It's incredibly difficult to turn it back on. It's much like a rocket launch sequence. You need to refire it up in order to get it going again, and this costs millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And so then the ideal situation would be what? Certainly, there's an argument to be made for the fact that we may have at this point, and I say this as modestly as possible, we may have enough wind turbines at the moment. We certainly don't need that foreseen 7,000 or so wind turbines for the province of Ontario. It's time to cut these things back. Is that your point?
Absolutely. So our party, the Progressive Conservative Party of Ontario, would cancel the FIT program. That's the feed-in tariff program that pays these astronomical rates.
That'd be for any new turbines, but I guess the existing ones would be able to live out their contracts. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Sadly, Liberals signed a 20-year contract. So, you know, the bad news for everybody is there's no silver bullet here, Dale, to reduce anybody's doubled hydro bill. We're stuck with that. But allowed to continue at this pace. Now, we've got 1,700 megawatts from wind. The Liberals want to go to 10,700. Mm. So the very problem that doubled your hydro bill is about to get huge. And they wanted to do it by 2018. The energy minister said he'd like to speed that up to 2015. We will be bankrupt. Ontario will flat out be bankrupt.
So you would stop if you, and I know this was in fact in your campaign last time around as well, for a moratorium on the development of new wind turbines and some drastic changes, amendments, or maybe even the scrapping of the major tenets of the Green Energy Act.
Well, we would, because the Green Energy Act, as a great example, was the Xstrata Copper in Timmins. High energy has caused that company to leave. I could take the entire rest of the show just naming to you companies that have either left Ontario or who have agreed to go to Quebec instead of Ontario. A huge rare earth minerals company out of Toronto announced only 2 weeks ago that they're headed to Quebec as opposed to Ontario because of high hydro rates.
But if we look ahead to what could be a rosier time, gee, we hope anyway, that the Ontario economy does a little better than it's doing right now and that our power demands will increase, there will be a role, will there not, for wind turbines to play?
Well, I think the 1,700 that we have, or the 1,700 megawatts that we have produced will be adequate. However, yeah, what our party is saying is we would allow them to happen under four conditions. Number one, with FIT program canceled, it's got to be at a price we can afford. Number two, in a willing host community. You know, one of the other things Dalton McGuinty did was strip the communities of all their decision-making power and all of their rights in terms of saying yay or nay to structures. These are 500-foot structures.
Yeah.
So we want a willing community. We want to know that the transmission lines are there. And we also want to know that we need the power. So there's four criteria that we need in order for that to happen. So we're not saying no to wind power. We're saying no to wind power at any price. And we've seen the price. So certainly the 670 families in Timmins have seen the price. They've paid the price for us.
With their jobs.
With their jobs.
I'm talking to Vic Vitale. Vic Fedeli, he is the PC Energy critic and the MPP for Nipissing in Northern Ontario. If you have a comment or a question about some of these issues we've been talking about with our current power demands, give us a call at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It is 10:48. We're talking to Vic Fedeli, the PC energy critic, talking about wind turbines, talking about energy demands. We have Salem on the line from Mississauga. Salem, do you have a question for Vic Fedeli?
I'm just wondering, generally speaking, why are we going for these wind turbines when we can use those cells that is an older system that produces electricity and heat the water? I think this is the most economical way of producing individually.
Solar rather than wind, yeah. What about that notion, Vic?
Well, the real problem is the Liberal government wanted to produce this Green Energy Act, and it's what we feel is more social engineering with our energy file rather than economic development. You know, we wanted to stand out as this green model to the world, but there's nothing green about this green energy plan. You know, wind today accounts for 3% of all the energy made in Ontario, but water power, which is green, reliable, affordable, renewable, it's the true green energy, has now dropped from 25% to 22%. So all we did at spending all these billions and causing your hydro bill to double was to make 3% of our energy wind green and lose 3% of our water green energy. So we're still as green as we were before, no more, no less, at double the price now.
Is there
so
room
that's
for
the whole? That was, yeah, the whole purpose of wind and solar, by the way,
and solar as well. You put them,
yes,
together, really.
Solar doesn't even represent a fraction of a percent. It doesn't register on the grand total in Ontario.
I guess what Salem is asking is whether or not more consideration in the future should be given to solar rather than wind.
Well, that's solar correct. Is even a bigger part of the problem financially. They were paying 80 cents, yeah, a kilowatt hour for solar power and selling it for 8 cents. So even a kid with a lemonade stand knows you can't buy a lemon for 80 cents, squeeze it out and sell lemonade for 8 cents. You're going to go broke. It's that 72 cents. Somebody has to pay it. And so what we've found is that the government has added a line in your hydro bill. It doesn't show up on residential bills individually, but it's included. But it shows up on a business's bill, and it's called global adjustment. And that now accounts for the difference between what the government pays to make energy and what they sell it for. So that 72 cents is buried in there. There's one company in Kitchener that I visited only 2 weeks ago. Their global adjustment is $25,000 a month. Now, that wasn't existing on their hydro bill only 2 years ago.
But they pay that now.
Now they pay that now.
Yeah.
That is now $300,000 a year extra. That's the difference between staying in Kitchener or moving to Quebec.
Yeah.
That is the difference today. That's what they told me when I stood in their plant. $300,000. How much profit did you think they were making that they could spare $300,000 to give to the government for this green energy social experiment?
Salem, thank you for your question. Here's Jim calling from Hanover. Jim, do you have a question or a comment for Vic Fedeli?
Yes, sir. I do have one comment. 40 years ago, I said the Ontario government, not the Ontario government, Ontario Hydro would bankrupt Ontario. And I guess it's come around, and what your guest is saying, they can. Now, my question is this. A lot of these things have been signed to put in these wind turbines. How much do we have to pay in a penalty to stop them, to cancel them?
Well,
how much is that going to cost us?
You know, first of all, it's not Ontario Hydro. This is purely the Liberal government that's doing this. Let me be really clear about that. You know, 8 years ago when they got elected, they had this green, alleged green dream, and this is what's causing our problem today. Now, they have signed 20-year contracts, and quite frankly, our policy is threefold. Number one, if it's up and standing, it's going to stay. We are going to honor those 20-year contracts. We're going to have to bite the bullet as a province and understand that these deals have been made. Number two, if it hasn't been started, it won't. That's our policy. And number three, it's the mushy middle. Those that are sort of underway, our leader Tim Hudak has said that his energy minister, whoever he or she is, will negotiate each and every one of those in the middle contracts one by one. And that's what we need to do. That's what our Progressive Conservative Party will be all about. We will honor the ones that are there, stop the ones that haven't started, and negotiate each out of the middle. Some will happen, some won't, but it'll be negotiated individually. And all the sad news for Hanover, Ontario, is the bills can't go down under any government. They just can't. Those are locked-in contracts. But if you don't stop them today, the Auditor General told us your hydro bill in Hanover and everywhere else, this is the Auditor General, will go up by 46% by 2015. That's the steep curve that we're on.
Jim, thank you. Thank you very much for your call. It wasn't that many days ago, Vic Fedeli, you and I shared the same farm wagon, speaking to people concerned about a wind development coming to the Collingwood area. And there, of course, a lot of the concern is about, and other communities as well, about where some of the turbines are planned to go and where some of them are situated now, too close to where people try to live and sleep in their own homes.
Yeah. So the federal government recognized that there is a serious problem with wind turbines in the province of Ontario and across Canada. There are people getting sick with headaches, nausea, tinnitus, nosebleeds, earaches. They all can't be wrong. So the federal government has now instituted a two-year study on the ill effects of wind turbines on people's health. So we have called for a moratorium. Let's do the right thing in Ontario. Let's have a moratorium on wind turbines until the results of this study come out. And that has fallen on deaf ears as well. This government is, pardon my language, hell-bent on forcing this social experiment down our throats at all costs, even at the cost of your health.
Here's Jim calling from Waverly. Jim, do you have a question?
Yes, I just came back from holidays a week ago, and I'm a mile and a half away from Site 41. We had 80 to 100 acres zoned as agricultural land.
Yeah.
We find out that it has been changed to rural agricultural, and they have started a 100-acre solar panel farm.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been tile drained, and they grew corn 2 years ago, and they grew soybeans last year. Yeah. No environmental hearings and whatever. Now, these solar panels, from what I understand, are locked in at a 52-degree angle. They're not trackers.
Yeah.
They don't track with the sun.
They stay in one spot. Yeah.
That's right. And that incurs a loss of approximately 30% of the power over a tracker. Okay. We have a tracker 2 doors down from us that follows the sun and so on and so forth. Okay.
Well, what's your point here? What are you coming to?
All right. Now, how can we force these solar panel farms to use non-existing agricultural land? And also, how can we make them more efficient to tracking with the sun?
All right, Jim, thank you very much for those two questions. Go ahead, Vic Fidelli.
You know, Dale, he's hit on a couple of interesting points. The tracking issue I won't address. That's not in my purview to address. You know, that's the deal that was made. That's the deal that was made. But I
true enough, but you can understand the the efficiency involved, right?
Yeah. Or the inefficiency in that case.
Yeah, exactly.
But here we're talking about the crux of it all. This social engineering program is force-fed. So now we're doing, he's talked about two things. We're chewing up viable agricultural land. That's where we got our food. I saw this when I was down in Sarnia. I couldn't believe when I was driving by this huge solar farm and underneath it was a former farm. I mean, this is ridiculous. But that is the very point that the Auditor General said. No business plan was created when they crafted the Green Energy Act. So therefore, they did not look at the pros and cons. And one of the cons would be, Sparky, we're using up our agricultural land. Let's think about that. No, they just went ahead and without any business plan whatsoever. At the time, it was Minister George Smitherman and Dalton McGuinty crafted this plan together. They never brought it to the legislature. And in fact, the Auditor General proved they never even brought it to their own cabinet. They went ahead and force-fed it on their own people, their own Liberal cabinet ministers and caucus, and then on the rest of Ontario. And this is what happens.
Is all this worth forcing an election in Ontario?
Well, you know,
should that ever become possible?
You know, I don't know that we're interested in forcing an election in Ontario. I think we're more interested in bringing the facts to light and trying to have this government understand that this is a folly that they're embarking on.
But the government clearly is ignoring. But the government's clearly ignoring what you're saying.
Well, clearly they are. We need the people to start to make contact with the government and say, you know what, my hydro bill doubled. You're at the cause of this. Your green energy social engineering folly is at the root problem of this. What are you going to do about it? The Tories have asked for three things. Moratorium on wind. We've asked for giving the rights back to municipalities that were stripped away. Those are two of the more critical pieces. And we continue to ask for facts. Mississauga Power Plant was a good example. $190 million spent.
I don't have time. Vic Fidelli, I don't have time to go there. I'm up against the news.
You know, I could go on and on.
Yes, as you said, you could fill the whole show. Thank you very much for the point you did raise.
Thanks, Dale.
All right, bye for now.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.